So how far down the geek hole did you go last week in L.A.?
It was pretty great, actually, John. This is my third con, as the locals call it, a con. Yeah, I went to L.A. Comic Con, and I saw some really amazing spandex and leather combinations.
They probably shouldn't be on people that size.
You know what? I'm just glad they're getting out. They're seeing the world. You know, I mean, there's celebrities there. Like, I saw Tommy Wiseau from The Room.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Captain America buying a samurai sword.
Ooh. He's ditching the shield?
What it looked like is it looked like a cosplayer, a con enthusiast who is thinking about making a change in his life. And you know what? I'm 100% behind this guy.
So were you involved in panels or anything like that for your upcoming, which I liked on Facebook, by the way?
Oh, yes. I was on a panel, and we got to briefly discuss the nature of the show, the cartoon that we're trying to get made. And
would you like to plug it?
No. No one cares.
Make you one or two more Facebook followers.
Frankly, I would rather people listen to this whole podcast than feel leave. Obligated. Yeah, like, don't look, if you're gonna stop and leave the podcast, go rate our podcast, give it a thumbs up, give it a 5-star or a 4-star if you feel like the 5-star is disingenuous. That's fine. But you know, the thing about 5-stars is you might not think something is 5-star and think, like, you know what, it's really just a 4-star, but there's jerks out there who think it's a 1-star when really in their mind it should just be a 2-star. And look, I understand people are like, oh, it's the worst, and oh, it's the best. But you know what? Sometimes things aren't the worst, and they aren't the best. They're just, like, good or not that good.
Well, we usually give it our best 2-3-star effort.
Yes. Look, I would say, John, I would say easily we give it a 3-4-star effort.
Okay.
Right? Like, we, and then it's like, then that's where the magic happens. We can push
Post
it up to a 4 or 5.
Post is where the magic happens. That's where we go from the 3-4 zone to the 5 zone.
No, I like to think that while we're interacting here completely unscripted, it elevates to another level, but that is also enhanced by post-production editing.
Yeah, just so listeners know, we do not talk at all in between shows. Jed puts together some bullet points, a couple words, and that's all we use. It's our very best to deliver to you.
And then we just, at the end, we just cut out the stuff that was drivel. So we
really
record usually about 3 hours of podcast.
to get an hour.
And so you get about an hour.
There's rarely, rare that I cut out more than 2 or 3 minutes. It's rare. Okay. And it's usually because of technical difficulties. And, you know, right. the traditional.
A technical difficulty being like incoherent rambling.
There has been a few incoherent ramblings.
It happens, man.
There have been a few political landmines that we've brought up on the show that I've gone like, I don't know if we should have that on a baseball podcast. And some ramblings that was, I don't remember one time. I think I cut 5 minutes out of this one segment that we went on and on. And you were at the end of it. You're like, you know what? That last 5 minutes, you could just cut that out.
I think because I had gotten to the end and I was like, I don't even really know what I'm talking about right now. So how could anyone even listen and follow along?
So this is Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is episode 84. This is the Prince Fielder episode. He wore 84 in his last 3 seasons with the Rangers before he decided to hang it up and go eat.
That was his waistline.
Size 84 spandex. Comic-Con, here I come. So there was a little bit of baseball. We took a little hiatus.
Yeah, well, that was the crazy thing was we didn't record last week because I was in L.A. And I was in L.A. for the Comic-Con and all that fun stuff. But also, the Dodgers were playing the Red Sox in the World Series in Los Angeles.
That must have been fun. Was there a vibe?
You know, when I landed, there was definitely like that cool, they were down 2-0, that cool, no problemo, we're going to win the next game, loose kind of vibe. It reminded me a lot of the Red Sox in 2004, where even when they were down 3-0, people were kind of like, yeah, but you know, this team has the pieces to make a run against the Yankees.
And they did.
And it felt like that. And then they won game 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
good for them. And then they, you know, they didn't win anymore. But the vibe was cool, and I actually almost went to two games.
Ooh.
The game four, a friend of mine wanted to buy a ticket for me and go, but I slept through it. Or I slept through his calls.
Oh, not the game.
And I woke up right around the time the game was starting. The guy was like, I finally had like three missed calls and three texts. And like, where are you? We want to go to the game. And like, oh, I was sleeping. I had horrible jet lag. So when I got back from the Comic-Con, I had actually just like, I'll just take a little nap. And that was like 2 hours.
And which game was that? Was that the 18-inning game?
No, that was the next game.
Okay.
That was, yeah, so game four. And then game five, a friend of mine who is also a Dodgers and Red Sox fan wanted to get me to go and was going to had free tickets, or thought he had a line on free tickets, and then was like, no, I'll just buy you a ticket. And I was like, they're $400 each. Which, of course, is less than a Fenway Park ticket. But anyway, he's also... And I was like, dude, how are we supposed to enjoy this? Like, even if the Red Sox win, we're happy, but then we're sad for the Dodgers. It's very... I don't ever want to go through this again, John. I don't ever want my two favorite teams. And it's the only sport where I really have, like, two favorite teams.
Mm-hmm. Did you find yourself rooting for one over the other? You're a Red Sox fan.
I will say that I was ultimately rooting for the Red Sox over the Dodgers. And I always felt that I would set aside the Red Sox like for the Dodgers because they haven't won in 30 years. But it's the Red Sox. Like, this mm-hmm. is the team I follow every day. Like, I know their farm system better than I know any other farm system. I know the players better than I know. And I have all of my fantasy baseball teams are stacked up with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, at the end of the day, it was just like I just wanted the Red Sox to win. So in that way, it was good. It was more like if the Dodgers had won, I would have been fine.
Yeah, you probably wished it was a little bit more of a competitive series.
Well, that was the disappointing thing. You know, the ratings were low.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't actually a thrilling World Series. I mean, the 18-inning game was something, you know, obviously it's never been done before, and the longest game and the longest by innings in the playoffs ever. And
that probably didn't help ratings.
Well, I mean, technically, cumulatively, it helped ratings.
Oh, yeah, over the long haul. But I would assume, because the park was half full by the end of the game.
I mean, still, kudos to Dodgers fans. I mean, that was mm-hmm. till, what, 1 a.m.?
Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, if I had been in New York, I would have been way up till 4 a.m. I'm sure my wife would appreciate that.
Yeah, seven and a half hours almost? That's a
and
long
what,
game.
What did it come down to? Kenley Jansen gave up a solo home run.
Which seemed to be a little bit of a theme throughout the postseason.
And then he did it. Did he do that the next night too, or
yeah.
was it the in
I think
the final
he did it the
game?
Next night. I think
no, it was the next night too. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was the next night too when they had the 4-3 lead, and then Kenley Jansen came in the eighth, and like maybe this is what I think about Kenley Jansen. I think he's still a great pitcher, but I think that when he is brought in the eighth inning to get a 6-out save, I think that he's taking a little bit off of his pitches so mm-hmm. that he can last the two innings.
He's not putting his heart into it?
Well, it's not that he's not putting his heart. He's just not, you know how like...
That was
when
a
you
joke.
Take a, oh, because of the heart condition. Hilarious, John. Oh. Dad jokes brought to you by Dad's Root Beer. Anyway, yes, he wasn't putting his heart into it. And it was, you know, just so disappointing. He's such a great pitcher, but I do think that he's trying something a little different. You know, like when a starter goes in the bullpen, they usually crank it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was cranking it back a little bit and giving up solo home runs to tie the game. And then that Red Sox offense is just...
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they didn't score much during that 18-inning extravaganza.
But, I mean, they were down 4-0 the next night and they came back.
Yeah. Came back and won, what, 9-6,
yeah, six,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then the next night they, you know, got first inning, Steve Pierce hit a home run off Kershaw, and Kershaw was solid in that game, especially against the best offense in baseball, but if we want to start breaking down the different elements, to me what lost the Dodgers the World Series was Kenley Jansen and Ryan Madsen, and mm-hmm. Ryan Madsen... I saw an interesting statistic yesterday. It was like in the last 5 years, he's allowed 6 inherited runners to score. And in the World Series, in his 3 appearances, he allowed all seven to score.
Right. Yeah, that was his issue. When nobody was on base, he was dynamite the whole postseason. Yeah. But put somebody
on. He let everyone else score.
Mm-hmm. Not on his record,
though. He came in relief. Right, not on his. Though, you know, I think one of the home runs he gave up counts, but he gave up runs on other people's behalf. And, like, I think that's why Kershaw's earned run average from game one was so bad, was because Ryan Madsen came in and allowed two or three of Kershaw's guys to score.
Yeah, statistically, he looked great.
Right. But
yeah,
results-wise.
No.
And then you look over at the Red Sox, and Price was great.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, we're at that $30 million. Sale was okay, but not really a factor.
And they didn't need him again, so that was okay.
And he closed out game five, which was kind of a cool thing to see him strike out the Dodgers. I mean, that was really the thing. The Dodgers maybe need to get a couple less strikeout guys. I mean, look, it got him to the World Series. So, if it gets you to the World Series, it can win you the World Series. But, I mean, really it just came down to me was two trades made in the year. One, the Red Sox acquired Steve Pierce.
MVP of the World Series.
MVP of the World Series. And two, the Dodgers acquired Ryan Madsen, who was solid and helped them get to the World Series. But in the World Series, those two trades wound up being the difference makers. Yeah. I think it goes to game seven if Madsen is able to pitch well. I should say pitch well. I shouldn't be. Anyway, yeah, it was really just a bizarre World Series and like low ratings, and it turns out that no one really cared about the Dodgers going for another shot, you know, off of last year, and no one cared at all about the Red Sox. Remember when the Red Sox and Dodgers, when they advanced, it was like, oh, Fox is going crazy. They're swimming in money now.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well. I remember we talked about that early on in the postseason when I said I wanted like a small market World Series, and you're like, oh, that would be the worst thing for TV execs.
Right.
And it might not have been. It might have been, well, people are excited to see the Astros and the Brewers.
But I think what really does it is good games.
That would make a difference, yeah. Close games.
These just weren't good games. They were like, they didn't feel, I mean, except for the 18-inning game, they just didn't feel competitive. It felt like every time the Red Sox got a lead. And what happened to that bullpen?
Mm-hmm.
This bullpen has been a joke all year and is like the reason why they didn't win 120 games. And
Kelly was the X factor.
10 innings pitched, right?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, just throw me out there every day. I'm good. 2-3 innings, I'm good. I got you.
Cranking it up, man.
Yeah, and he was hitting 99 like, on the gun.
Yeah, and just striking everybody out. Now, maybe it's a perfect matchup, right? Like maybe a less strikeouty team gets to Joe Kelly, or maybe he's just geeked up because, you know, hey, if David Eckstein can be MVP, maybe Joe Kelly's got a shot, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of the MVP, Pierce has got to be on, you know, cloud 50, you know?
Yeah.
That's like a dream come true for him.
Right, yeah, grows up a Red Sox fan, winds up on the Red Sox at the trade deadline, you know, works his way into the starting lineup instead of just being a platoon guy for Mitch Moreland. And then here he is, MVP, home runs.
Yeah, and Moreland did okay for himself. Comes in off, you know, pinch hit off the bench, hits a 440-foot three-run homer.
That yeah, first pitch.
Yeah, that was pretty damn impressive.
But I think it didn't feel, it wasn't compelling to viewers. It wasn't compelling for me because, you know, again, like I like it. It felt like, honestly, I think I told you this before it started. It was going to be like an exhibition game. These were like exhibition games to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was no thrill in one of them winning. It was just like, good, they got the win.
Right.
Very strange experience.
Yeah, yeah. But what would have been nice and would have helped ratings was close games.
Yeah.
Going seven, fighting back and forth, knockout punch type of games. The back and forth is the best as opposed to, you know, the down 3-0, people lose interest in game four, and then it kind of picks back up if they win game five and six.
Right.
And then it becomes something to get excited about. But I was at the 90, 91, 92 World Series, Twins and Braves. It was a seven-game series decided by one run, and the last game went 11 innings.
Right.
That's a classic right there. And probably one of the all-time best World Series.
Yeah, and you know, like there was a decline in the ratings this year that did match, sort of in line. If you take out last year's Astros Dodgers, which was such an anomaly, it may have been like the best World Series not for Dodgers fans, but just for
right.
for baseball and for non-baseball fans. And then the year before with the Cubs and the Indians both trying to get rid of their longstanding curses. Like, it's kind of in line with the decline in television ratings, so it's not like, oh my gosh, what do we need to do? Like, you just need to luck into a more interesting World Series, that's all.
Yeah, I had seen something before the World Series started that the Dodgers had won 5 World Series in the time that they landed in L.A. through the 80s.
Yeah.
And then they have not won since.
Yeah, so basically so the same first 30 years there, yeah. they won 5, and then the second 30 years, they've won 0.
Yeah.
It's interesting because about baseball is like there are 30 teams.
Ooh, numbers.
So technically, a team should win once every 30 years.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Otherwise, someone's getting nudged out. Like, the Red Sox have, what, 4 now in the last 15 years? So
yeah, it's
3 teams already nudged out.
Henry was the elixir. He was the magic potion. Took over the team in, what, 2002? One? He left the Marlins.
Right.
Did a little swapola, and it turned out pretty good for him.
Worked out okay.
Yeah. So what was your favorite moment?
You know, my favorite moment was the Puig home run.
That was pretty exciting.
That was so exciting for me because it was like I wanted a great series. And of all of the I think Puig is just the best. Like, I think the way that he plays and the stuff he does is just the absolute best. That moment where the stadium goes so insane. Was it Eduardo Rodriguez slams his glove down on the ground and... I mean, it's just a magical baseball moment. Unfortunately, you know.
An inning later, Moreland hits a
home run. An inning later, yeah, Rich Hill had to come out, and I still don't quite understand that.
Don't get that at all. I was like looking, you know, that was the one game I had a chance to watch a majority of it, and I was just like, I don't get it. And then obviously he was going to be asked that question, and he said that there was a dugout conversation that he had already reached his limit, and there was a discussion before that inning started. This is the freaking World Series.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel a little bit like then don't send him back out.
Right. Don't make any sense. Oh, it's a matchup.
Don't send him back
out.
It's
a matchup. Yeah, yeah. Like that makes no sense.
Yeah,
it gets to the point where there's a psychology involved because, you know, these studs used to pitch 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 innings. There was one World Series game when Babe Ruth was with the Red Sox and he pitched a complete game 15 inning win.
Right.
In the World Series. That was one of the longest games, you know, ever in World Series history. And he goes a distance. So we have this mentality in our minds now that these guys can't go. And you would say, like, oh, well, the players, you know, the third time through the lineup statistically, like, well, that didn't play out as much in the old days either. It wasn't like the games dramatically went into football scores after the third and fourth time through the lineup. So there is, I think a lot of it is psychology, a lot of it is protecting investments, but I'm pretty sure if you asked Rich Hill in that moment if he wanted to come out, he would have said no.
You know, I know this was the shortest average start for starting pitchers in the playoffs. I think some of that was screwed up but it was like significantly lower. The games are longer. They were 40 minutes longer than regular season games.
You know, we have to blame for that. Andrew friggin' Miller started this whole trend a couple years ago. Frickin' Andrew Miller.
Probably going to wind up on the Dodgers, I think.
Yeah, well, hopefully he can get healed up.
Exactly what the Dodgers would need is a healthy Andrew Miller. That's exactly what they would need.
To get back to the promised land. Chance of the Dodgers going back 3 years in a row?
I think the Dodgers are the team best set up to win over the next 5 years. I think they're going back to the World Series and they'll win in the next 5 years. I think with the amount of money, because now they have more money to spend, right? Because they don't have to stay under the salary cap or luxury tax thing.
Well, the big news, though, has to be, today's news, which, you know, today, tomorrow, last week, whatever, according to when you listen to this, is Kershaw decision.
Oh, that's right. Maybe we should have waited to record until after that. That's kind of a big deal, right? What do you think? Do you think he's going to stay or do you think he's going to go?
I think he's going to opt out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where would he go?
I don't know if he's going to go anywhere else, but I think he's going to opt out just to get a longer...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so he may wind up staying, but I think he's going to opt out.
Although they extended the thing, right?
Right, they extended
that makes it sound like they're negotiating.
Yeah,
to me.
So they may be negotiating a new deal. And so that's the reason, because they did that with Freeze, and that was announced yesterday that they extended him, so he's on board for another.
How amazing is it how good Freeze is against left-handed pitching.
And he kind of revitalized himself this season. Yeah. He had a great year, and he did well in the playoffs. He had a home run in the
home run in the World Series. Yeah, I'm not super into like the let's have a different lineup completely, left versus right. Right. But when you have a guy that is hitting like 1100 OPS versus lefties,
you platoon.
Freaking put him in. You platoon him, especially when he's hitting like 300 versus righties.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the opposite of Jock Peterson. It's a perfect fit for the Dodgers. So it'd be interesting to see. We'll talk a little bit more later about what these teams do next in our Around the Horn segment. But, I'm very curious to see what happens with Kershaw, of course, because that's the – I don't want to say he's the best pitcher in baseball, but he's the best pitcher of this generation. And
I think
he's now like in the top five, right? Yeah,
and I think the Dodgers will do that. We're going to reward him for his tenure here. We're going to keep him here. We'll renegotiate a package for him that extends him further. So that's probably what's going on. I'm assuming that's what's going on.
Yeah.
So I think doesn't necessarily say that he gets to the point where he opts out and then they negotiate. I really do feel that that's why they extended it for a couple of days so that they could work through the details and keep him. I don't think he wants to go anywhere else, but he'd be dumb not to say, hey, I've got a chance to extend the years and the dollars. Why should I not take advantage of
what
it?
What do you figure? More years, less per year? Way he's getting, whatever, $33 million.
I think
a year
he goes.
Not,
he
not with
comes
a
91 out,
1 mile an hour fastball.
No, if he comes out with like a 7 year, $30 million, $25 to $30 million deal, that would be
okay.
What I would think he would be in that range.
Okay. I'm going to guess more like 5 or 6, but so I'll say 5, so I'm not just guessing one less than you.
Okay.
5, mm-hmm. And then 30, just under 30.
Okay.
That's what I think.
We're in the same ballpark.
Yeah, it's definitely, would be, definitely, you know, in the same ballpark. We're in the same stadium.
No complaint. No complaints about, you know, a $150 to $200 million extension. That would be nice. Nice
yeah, that's coin. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it is a pay decrease.
But extend. Yeah, could have had 300. Could have been a $300 million guy.
Have to find a way to deal with the.
Yeah, well, he's only himself to blame, though.
Yeah.
He's not the Kershaw of old.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it's an injury and not a skills decline because I want that. If
that
he could just
get
a mile and a half faster back on that fastball, it changes who he is. It makes him so
or
much
he
more
just
dominant.
He becomes a better nibbler. You know,
yeah,
he works the.
I don't like nibblers.
Yeah, but
man.
Part of it for him though is his motion does not set him up for being a nibbler.
Yeah,
he is more of a his wind up. His motion is all about speed and deception with the curveball. So
yeah,
I think he's never going to become a soft tossing corner nibbling
Tom Glavine type.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Yeah, enough.
So, did you get a chance to watch the parade?
You know, I did actually watch some of the parade.
Did you get hit by a beer can?
I did not get hit by a beer can. This is a tradition that Gronkowski started with the Patriots, accepting tossed beers, and fans got a little carried away.
Yeah, there was a lot of beer sold in Boston that day on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But and a lot of it
full
was being
cans of beers being
hurled
chucked
through the air. Yeah, when you think
lovingly,
about it, too. Lovingly, but the fans
chucked.
Aren't thinking about, hey, there's wife and parents and children on those floats and buses, you know, with them. And, you know, there's one great photo of Mookie Betts having one swatted away from his face by a photographer.
That's right.
That was a great photo.
I mean, they don't call them massholes for nothing. You know what I mean? Like, Boston is, look, I actually love the town very much, but some of the people there, whew.
They get a little drink going and they get excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's,
little,
you know.
We'll just say not thoughtful, right?
They're just thinking
insensitive.
About. The only thing they're thinking about is if I throw a beer can and Mookie Betts catches it, how awesome would that be?
That would make that person's life.
Right.
They could go back to working in their, like, auto repair shop for the rest of their lives and they'll always be like, yeah, remember Mookie caught your beer, man? Like, yeah, I know, right?
It was wicked awesome.
Wicked pisser.
Wicked pisser. So that that one guy got apparently arrested, and he even said, he goes, I didn't want to hit Alex Cora. I'm so sorry. That wasn't my intention. Yeah. But you
they'll
did
arrest
throw
him,
a
but
beer.
They're not gonna like they're
not
gonna
not,
do anything.
They're not gonna throw the book at him.
That's just a hassle.
Not gonna happen.
You give him like a little fine and be on your way, you know.
So David Price had a chance to kind of put some oomph behind his option to stay by having such a good postseason.
Right.
Otherwise, it would have been like, of course you're staying. Why would you leave?
Yeah, he actually made it a no-brainer. Like, yeah. It actually sounds like, oh, maybe he actually likes playing for this team or guys, or I don't know about in Boston
out,
particularly.
Because there was one before, I don't remember which series it was, but there was somebody who said, I worked something out in the bullpen, and the post-game interview was like, well, can you tell us what that was? He's like, oh, I'm not going to share my secrets.
Right.
It's like, so after all this time, all the problems that you've had and getting over the postseason hump, you found it in the bullpen during, you know, a warm up before one game in your career that everything was better.
I mean, maybe he was tipping a pitch or something like that. You know what I mean? Or at least that, you know, doing something that was taking away from the effectiveness of a pitch. You know what I mean?
But if it's that simple, maybe it is. Maybe it is that simple.
Or maybe he just throws a little pine tar on there. Maybe he found some pine tar in the bullpen.
Increased his spin rate. So
yeah.
Yeah, could be.
I mean, I did see there was a photo of him patting his chest and his hand was sticking to his jersey.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Spygate. So
maybe there's a little bit of something, something.
Hey, and you know what? You know, we've had this discussion before. Yeah. I really don't care. If you do that stuff and you get away with it and Major League Baseball doesn't come down on you, shame on Major League Baseball. You know, that's the bigger issue because they allow it. It's the same way I felt about the whole steroid thing. That happened because Major League Baseball allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
So that's on them, not on the players, in my opinion.
I mean, I feel more offended by, like, corked bats. That's, to me,
that's
corked
intentional.
Bats.
It's a lot of work's going into that.
Yeah. I feel like pine tar is a simulator of, like, not sweaty hands.
Wasn't it? I think it was Sosa 20 years ago that fouled the ball off the end of the bat and the top popped off and there was cork in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, where'd that come from?
But then he like tries to make motions like to clean it up. Like, it's so good. Like, no, Sammy, we all see. Also, there's cameras.
Yeah. There's a lot of people watching this right now. You can't
hate to break it to you, Sammy. This isn't the backfield at a spring training facility.
Right. That was pretty funny. So let's talk about some other baseball.
Yeah.
There is other baseball going. This is the crazy season when there's just nothing but, you know, extensions or non-extensions, and there's the waiver, you know, 40-man rosters are changing left and right. Your head swims. It happens so fast.
There's probably too many transactions for us to just start getting into being a transaction show. So let's talk about, like, what does the lay baseball fan want to hear about? And I put Brett Gardner re-signed with the Yankees for a year.
That was a surprise.
I was a little surprised by that. And I think there's a couple of reasons why I'm surprised. One is, does that mean that they're out on Harper?
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought is like, well, they're not going in. They're not all in on him. They're going to go in on Machado then.
Two, does that mean that Ellsbury is never coming back? And three, poor Clint Frazier, are the concussions going to, you know, sideline this guy forever? Because you've got Hicks, Gardner, Stanton and Judge. That's four outfielders.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit of an indicator.
Yeah.
I think Frazier becomes a trade piece with that. So
assuming he's okay, right? It's like the Justin Morneau thing where it's like, come on, you're so talented, but you know, concussions are nothing to mess with.
Right. But there was also, you know, the whole talk about how Machado carried himself throughout the playoffs that it's turning off some GMs.
Oh, yeah.
In a big way.
It is a little bit weird. Like, and then he struck in the last game. He struck out like three or four times. Yeah. Like,
ended the game, right?
Ended the game with a ridiculous strikeout. Now, in his defense, Kike Hernandez's strikeout was even worse. That was the one where he's just, like, decided at the last split second to swing.
Wave
and
at
looks
it.
Like he's swatting at it.
Yeah.
You can't swat at a 90-mile-an-hour slider with a round bat. You can't do it. So,
but Machado, it'll be interesting to see if that has a big impact on him. You know, some people.
I mean, I still think he should wind up with the Phillies.
That would be an interesting fit. Yeah, it would definitely.
They have money. They need that kind of bat. I mean, if he can play third base, that would be great for their defense. If you play shortstop, then they'll find other ways to make up for his defense. It's so funny to me that he's so bad numbers-wise at short. But I think it's just because he's not focused. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. If he was focused and he was like, I'm into this and I'm going to be the best I can be, like if he was one of those guys, then I think he's, you know, Hall of Famer. I don't know that he's a Hall of Famer, and whatever, it's a minor distinction, but like he's a great player. Mm-hmm. But the attitude and the weak defense at short, I think that's going to cost him.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. But the Yankees, there was a little bit of something I was reading that were saying like that made them step way back.
Yeah.
On the evaluation of him was to see him in that limelight to really not give a crap.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, that's a character issue more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, he had good numbers.
Talent speaks for itself, but, you know, yeah. Attitude goes a long way too.
Yeah.
We'll see. Phillies would be a good fit because he could be a, you know, a leader there. On the Yankees, he won't be a leader. Not that he wants right. to be a leader, but he's going to be the in the spotlight, I guess.
Well, he wants to be the alpha, right? Like, yeah. He strikes me as the sort that wants to be, like, the best player on the team. Mm-hmm. I think you go to the Yankees, and I don't think you're the best player on that team or the third best player on that team.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what's this thing with the Japan series? So they...
Oh, right. So I threw this in. This happened. The Japan series, their first game, which I think was like a day after the 18-inning game for the Red Sox and the Dodgers, their opener went 12 innings and ended in the 2-2 tie.
Everybody went home happy.
And everyone went home. And so the way they do it is theirs is not best of seven. It's first team to win four games.
Oh.
So if the first game is a tie,
you move on.
You move on, and just like it's basically like a null game.
Hmm. I thought they'd put a runner on second the next day and start from there.
Don't you even start with that. Those jokes were flying fast and furious on Twitter during the 18-inning game.
Yeah, like, that was a long maybe. Night. It really was.
It was a long and boring night. The thing is, it was a boring night. Yeah. And like Nate Eovaldi, though, right?
Dominant.
Holy moly.
He went six innings?
Yeah.
Six or seven innings? Yeah, it was pretty
six
impressive.
Plus. Incredible. Yeah. And he, remember, it wasn't like, oh, well, he was going to start the next day, which he was. But like he had pitched 2 days before and then warmed up the day before that. Like,
yeah. So Kelly Price and Eovaldi were the highlights for the, you know, that's saying a lot because Chris Sale is Chris Sale. But those three guys really made a huge difference.
Yeah.
For the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And not names you would have thought would have been the dominant factors.
But isn't that the way it is in baseball?
That's what I love about it. I love Steve Pierce winning MVP. I love that. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So JT Realmuto is saying he doesn't want to play for the Marlins yet again in the offseason. So he went through that whole charade last year after they got rid of everybody, and he stayed. Not that he has any say in the matter, but his agent is now saying that he will not be in a Marlins uniform come spring training.
Now they're saying this time it's for real, Muto. John, I was trying to top your earlier heart.
That was a terrible joke.
Was
much better. It's interesting because this is one. He is by far one of the best talents in baseball behind the plate, and there's a whole bunch of teams that need catcher help. So
you know what would be interesting? What if the Dodgers traded for him? Because they actually have two of the three best catching prospects in the league. And why not just trade a great catching prospect and like one other great prospect for JT Realmuto?
And with 2 years of control still left, that would make a heck of a lot of sense. The Marlins should get a haul for this.
Yeah, you get one of the top catchers. You get a great other prospect, right? Maybe even like Alex Verdugo. Like, where is he going to play next year? No one... Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be in the major league. So Alex Verdugo, one of the Smith or was it Kelbert Ruiz? One of those guys. And then like a couple of smaller guys, a couple of like lower level guys. Boom, there's your Realmuto trade.
The exciting news is that once we get through award season, we're in full blown hot stove.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite times. Not that I don't enjoy the season. I obviously do that. Yeah. But I love hot stove season. I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's something to look forward to.
You know, it's when everyone starts thinking that, hey, you know what? Next year, maybe we do have a shot.
Right. It's just we just need that one more piece.
Yeah.
We just need Andrew Miller and we'll get over the hump.
Yeah, like the Marlins are like, hey, what about Victor and Victor Mesa?
Right. They could have a Victor victory. So they signed, which is what was expected. They went through their stream of trades that allowed them to get the international cap space. So they were going crazy. They had like 3 or 4 trades within the last 2 weeks leading up to that, and got them both, which is expected. It was a package deal, but Victor has a chance to be a quick turnaround.
Right.
He could be up. I don't think he'll be playing next year, but the year after, most definitely.
I wonder. I've always wondered this about the Marlins. Like, is it like a good move? I mean, obviously, it's not a bad move to sign Cubans, but is it like, is it really so much more advantageous for them than it would be for, you know, whatever, Cleveland?
Well, that was one thing that they were like, oh, we're going to build the park down here, and there's going to be a huge influx of Latin fans that are come to the games. That didn't happen.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, it's not. It's about the product on the field is most important.
Well, there's that. Yeah. The thing about Victor is it always reminds me of that airplane scene where they're like, what's your Victor? And Roger was over under and under was overdone.
Right. That was great. Good stuff.
So was, yeah.
So what else we got here?
If Victor and Victor Mesa, if Victor introduces Victor Mesa, do they say hello to my little friend? It's a package deal.
And he's, what, 17? The younger one? 17?
Yeah.
Going to be 18. And Sandy Gaston.
Yeah.
He signed with the Rays. He was the third Cuban. And he's only 16, going to be 17 in December. And he's already hitting triple digits. That's pretty impressive.
We'll see how that turns out. Did you hear about, I heard about the, just one more thing on the Victor thing that literally no one listening to cares about. But I heard that the, for their tryout, it was like very limited access, and like because the agent for Victor is like the one that's been involved in like all of this borderline human trafficking stuff.
Geez.
You know, like not human trafficking like sex slaves, but like the human trafficking that happens when baseball players try to defect Cuba.
Right.
So like they were like MLB, and of course with the Department of Justice kind of breathing down MLB's neck about their connection to people committing crimes in other countries. It was all super strict, and like
Secret bond. Service were there.
Not Secret Service, but you know what I mean? Like high security, limited, like no electronics, that sort of thing. Like limited media. This is for scouts. This is for people who, you know, can sign these people.
Mm-hmm. There was a big crowd there. Like 23 teams, I think, were present.
Yeah.
The big kind of big news. This is the first time that we've had a GM flip over from the agency world.
Well, Dave Stewart, technically, right?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess.
Though it was always weird that he was an agent,
right? But the head of an agency who has no baseball operational experience is now
running the Mets,
and he's made some pretty bold statements. If you're a Met fan, you're got to be like, wow. Let's see if he does this. They're going to expand their... He's in win-now mode, which I don't know how he can be with what the pieces that they have. They have a good
and the money they don't have.
Mm-hmm. But they have a,
did they get rid of their owners?
Yeah, they only have a $150 million budget, which is kind of small for a major market team.
Yeah.
But you would think that they would have tempered him a little bit going into that press conference because he's put a lot out there. Saying that they're going to be the big thing they're going to do is beef up their analytics team, but you don't win the first year that you do that. So there's going to be a time to grow into that role. It'll be interesting to see. It's it's either a really bad move or genius
or both.
So some hardware has already been handed out. We had a couple
some awards coming out,
some pitching, relief pitching, and Silver Slugger, but Henry Aaron.
Best Aaron. Offensive hitter.
Yeah.
Basically best hitter. Got Yelich in the National League. Probably going to be the MVP also. Mm-hmm. Though I still am, there's no way DeGrom will win just because the way Yelich closed. But the DeGrom numbers, the pitching numbers were still just so crazy. And then J.D. Martinez over in the American League, which the Henry Aaron Award is perfect for him because it removes defense from the equation.
One of the things that I saw in reading about Henry Aaron, he even made a comment about this recently, is that he never struck out over 100 times in any season that he played in.
With the ladies? Oh, at the plate.
At the plate.
Sorry, John. At the plate. Okay.
That's a pretty impressive number. You know, entire
for,
career.
Yes, at the plate and with the ladies.
And with
yes.
The ladies, right. Right. So, you know,
I can assure you, John, I have struck out more than 100 times with the ladies.
But we also, on the flip side, we had the relief awards.
Yeah.
I went to Edwin Diaz and the Haterator.
Yeah.
Which was expected, I think, in both of those. So,
yeah,
no
those
surprises.
Are great relief pitchers that really dominated in ways that we don't normally see.
Yeah.
Really set themselves apart.
And we had some new hires in the dugout for a few teams. So
yeah.
I don't remember who they were. So
the Angels got Ausmus, right?
Yes, that's right.
And the Twins got
Baldelli, right?
Rocco Baldelli, because they were like, hey, why not?
Yeah, let's get a 37-year-old with 1 year of organizational experience. But that's the trend, you know?
They're like, hey, you know what? It worked out so great with Paul Molitor to just give him a starting, give him a team without any real experience. Let's just see what happens. That worked so well. We fired him after 2 years, but let's see what happens. And then the Blue Jays one I actually like, which, of course, it sucks because he's in the American League East, but Carlos Montoya, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Montana from Scarface.
Right. Say hello
fame.
To my little
yeah. But that's a good choice. That's more your classic, like, this guy's got a lot of experience in the minor leagues. He's got bench coach experience in the major leagues.
Yeah, he's like
that's
18
more your classic
years
hire.
Managing in the minor or something like that.
Yeah, like a lot of experience.
But I think we're moving to a point within the next 5 years, we're probably going to be seeing an analytical guy in the dugout.
I mean, maybe. I think it's always going to be like a former player or a former something that likes analytics.
And that's why you're seeing a lot of the younger managers, too, because they've been exposed to Baldelli. That's a big part of why I think the Twins found him appealing, is because he has a connection to the modern player and modern statistics and how they play a role in the game. And the Twins dumped their, you know, pretty much everybody. You know, they lost their bullpen. And I think the bench coach is going to stay because he was like the leading candidate internally to get the job, and he didn't. Is it Shelton, I think, is the name? But he's also...
idea. Listeners,
you go deep into
turn
the
over to you.
Prospects, but when it comes to managerial and bench depth, you're on the coaching staff. That's too far removed from the heart and soul of the game.
Yeah.
So that's our headlines. Exciting.
Great.
Let's move on to starting nine.
Yeah.
And this is, I'm excited to see this film. And as soon as I get back in the States, I think that will be the film I want to see. First,
it's
Bohemian Rhapsody. I think it opens in theaters today.
When I first heard this was happening, I was very like, ugh. And when I saw as soon as I saw the first trailer, I'm in. I love it. It looks exciting. It looks like a thrilling biopic with clearly one of the great creative minds that this planet's ever seen, and maybe other planets as well. Who knows?
I'm a huge Queen fan. I was a Queen and ELO were my two biggies back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So, big fan. So, I'm really excited to see that one. Should be fun. So, four, starting nine players with Queen song names.
Right. So, nine current players correlated to Queen songs. Here we go. We Will Smith, Rock You Darvish.
A double. Two for
start
out
off
of the
with a
gate.
Double. Yeah, started off with a double. The rest are just singles. Another One Bites the Dust in Pedroia.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Brad Keller, Queen.
Good.
Right, Keller Queen. Pedro, Don't Strope Me Now. For those of you who don't know, Don't Stop Me Now is the Queen song that's in Shaun of the Dead, which is one of the more hilarious sequences of that film.
Great movie.
Next one, Yonder Pressure, Alonzo.
That was good. The sound made it. The sound singing it made it great.
Next one is Jackie Bradley Yo Gaga.
Bradley Yo. These are awesome.
Thank you. What about Cody Fat Bottom Bellin Girls? You make the rockin' world go round. And also you strike out a lot in the World Series. And that's a little disappointing. Cody Bellinger. Bellin Girls. Anyway, we are the Champions Hap.
Good. Champions. Right. Ians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ians. Hap. Mike Crazunino Little Thing Called Love.
Wow. That's digging deep and making it work. That's good.
Yeah. And lastly, Marcus Bo Simeon Rhapsody.
Very good. Yeah, those are great.
And I got a nice little treat for you.
Uh-oh.
How about we sing a little Marcus Bo Simeon Rhapsody?
What are we going to do?
Is this JT Real Muto life? Is this just Tommy Fantasy? Caught in a Mitch Moreland slide? No Eduardo Escapo Bar from Reality? Open Jed Jerko eyes? Look up to Ozzy Albies and see Sabathia? I'm just a poor Matt Boyd. I need no Andrelton Simmonspathy. Because I'm easy come, easy Gio Gonzalez.
Awesome.
Sean Doolittle High, little Brandon Low. Anyway, the wind, Pablo's Sandoval, doesn't really Matt Kemp to me.
That is so awesome. That is the best ever. I'm sweating. I'm laughing so hard. That's so good. Really good.
That's all I got.
It deserves a golf clap. That was awesome. What made you decide to do that?
Do what?
Do the song.
Because it's a great song.
No, I mean, I know that, but it was just kind of like, hey, I'm doing the names. Hey, let me do the song too. That was like a bonus on top of a bonus.
Yeah,
awesome.
Because Queen's the best, man.
Oh, I love it.
That's why. And it was just like, oh, Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it was like, I had sort of the song in my head as I was. And then I was like, you know what you could do? You could do, oh, you know what? And then Tommy Fantasy was the first one I came up with.
And then you were hooked.
I was like, you know what? This is going to be good. So let me do
that
this.
That was awesome. That was so good. Yeah. Bravo.
Well, thank you.
Best one yet.
Thank you.
Now we're going to do some around the horn. So what's next? And this is for the playoff teams?
This is for the teams that made the playoffs, yeah. We were going to cover some of these last week, but we didn't record last week, so we'll cover all of them this week.
Okay. So what's up for the Braves? What are they going to do to make it back to the dance?
I mean, here, they have so much. This is what I would do, right? Because they lose. Who's the Markakis, right? They lose Markakis. Now, that is a place they could seriously upgrade. What about A.J. Pollock? So then you have an outfield of A.J. Pollock, Ender Inciarte, and what's his pickle? The great guy, Ronald Acuna, right? And then Inciarte, I think, is just on the team for another year. And then up comes Pache, I think his name is. And that guy's great defender, could be very good offense, but is at least solid offense. That's your team going forward. And that's not really so much more. You figure Pollock's going to be something like 15 to 18 million a year for 3 years, something like that.
Yeah. And I think the biggest surprise for the Braves are their pitching prospects delivered.
Honestly, John, it's not usual that high a percentage pitching prospects actually comes through, and like they hit on almost everyone, which is very unusual.
So the interesting thing to see, will they, you know, slide a little bit going into next season?
Right.
You can expect that. Are they going to continue to be as dominant as they were? Interesting to see.
Yeah.
And will will Washington come back stronger?
Will right. They just signed Rosenthal, right? I think that's a great signing.
Yeah.
You remember how dominant he was right before
and they
he
signed
blew
him
out
right
his arm.
After his showcase. So he did the showcase just last week and boom, they signed him.
Yeah.
How about the Cubs?
Sneaky good. The Cubs need starting pitching. That's their problem. Wouldn't it be amazing if they got Kershaw?
Oof.
He said as he started to cry. But who's the best starter out there right now?
Well, free agency? Part of it you can look at is if Darvish comes back. He won't be back. He won't be back until second half of the season, though.
I know
right?
they already regret that signing, but I knew they were going to regret that signing, and I think they will continue to regret that signing. Something happened to that dude in the playoffs, or because he was so good in the playoffs up until that last game, wasn't it? Or was it until the World Series? Man. Well, you talk about one pitcher making a big difference in a series. That was in a bad way.
Yeah.
The Dodgers caught another one with Yu Darvish and then Ryan Madsen and Jansen this year. Yeah. Anyway, I would say starting pitching for the Cubs.
Red Sox? Much? Do they need
to do
Well,
here's the thing.
Much?
They're maxed
lose Kimbrel,
out.
Right?
They might lose Kimbrel, right? And they will need relievers. They got rid of Carson Smith. Unfortunately, that trade didn't work out, though they won a World Series, so who cares, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they need relievers because as good as they were with their relievers in the playoffs, that's not going to happen again. So, but that's a great core team there. I mean, that's Price and Sale and Porcello and Eduardo Rodriguez pitching, Benintendi, Bradley Jr., Betts. I mean, I guess they have to do something at second base, but maybe Pedroia comes back. They'll probably platoon at first base. Shortstop, third base are covered. Catcher is always a point of weakness.
Yeah,
but
they might be in the JT Realmuto hunt. That would be
interesting. The thing is, I don't think they would because they would have to give up like Devers to get him because they just don't have anything in the minor leagues that comes even close to what other teams could offer.
Because you know their farm system well.
Yeah,
I do not.
Yeah, no, it's trash. It's like. It's the big bummer about the team, but like, look, whatever, they won the World Series, they'll get over it. But their farm system is absolutely trash. But that's because Dombrowski, right? Dombrowski is like, bring him up, trade him.
Right.
You know, and you look around the league and you see a lot of like former Red Sox prospects that are doing good on other teams and in their minors and in their majors. Mm-hmm. But the Red Sox won the World Series, and that's the whole point.
That's what they do. Brewers.
I mean, I want to say that they need more starting pitching. Right? Because I think it was kind of smoke and mirrors, but Brandon Woodruff looked like he's ready to be a starter. And then you bring back Jimmy Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe still you need to go out and get like one more guy, but it feels like they have
They're
pieces.
Pretty
I think
close.
You got to trade Domingo Santana. That's not fair to him. Trade him to an American League team where he can DH or to a National League team that doesn't care about his bad outfield defense. But that's a strong team. I think they could be, at least for another year or two, I think they could hang in there.
Yeah. Astros.
I mean, they don't need to do anything. I see how they let Brian McCann go.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprised. But I don't. Yeah, they need to save some money, I guess, on some stuff. But they have the best pitching prospect in baseball with Forrest Whitley and one of the best hitting prospects with Kyle Tucker. I think that's the improvements you see. Maybe they'll grab another relief pitcher like they did last year. But
and a healthy Altuve and Correa will go a long way, too.
Those two getting healthy will be like adding another player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oakland.
Did Oakland make the playoffs?
The one game.
No. You know, I don't know what they need to do. What do they need to do?
Something
I saw they extended
nobody,
everybody, right? All the management?
Something that nobody anticipates them doing, they'll do, and it'll work.
Yeah.
Because Billy Bean.
Yeah, it's an interesting team. They turned themselves into a solid defensive team when I would say that you wouldn't have guessed that about that group of people.
Starting pitching would be a help.
Yeah, probably.
A lot of injuries there, so that would probably be where they need to start out.
It's such an expensive area to go into, though, so maybe they do a trade. Like they do a trade for a controllable guy using – I think they have an overabundance of prospects.
They have a lot, yeah. They have a
major league-ready prospects, I think they're
– Yankees.
I mean, they need starting pitching. I keep hearing about Machado and Hart, which will it be Machado or Harper, or maybe they'll bring in Donaldson. Like, no, they need starting pitching. Unless any of those guys can pitch, they need starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you talk about anything else?
Right?
Yeah,
Sabathia wants to come back, but you can't expect him to keep. I mean, delivering. He's done quite well the last two seasons. That's surprisingly so.
Yeah,
but they need pitching. How about the Rockies?
Okay, so. They're going to lose a couple of guys, right? They lose a second baseman, LeMahieu. They lose Carlos Gonzalez. I think with Raimel Tapia and Ryan McMahon and who's the other guy? The Hampson, mm-hmm. that it is, mm-hmm. Garrett Hampson. Mm-hmm. I think they have all the pieces, and then they also have Rogers down in the minor leagues. I think they have all the pieces they need. I'd be very curious to see whether or not they re-sign Arenado before he gets to free agency at the end of next year. That feels like a huge deal.
Yeah,
I mean that's a $30 million a year, 8-year guy. Mm-hmm. If the Rockies don't re-sign him, but do they want to do that move again, which they tried with Todd Helton and didn't work out so great?
Right, and Tulowitzki didn't work out so great.
It didn't work out so great. Yeah. So yeah, I know it's a weird area for them. Like, their bullpen was kind of solid, and their starting pitching was. They keep doing that. Whatever you're doing with that starting pitching,
yeah, but figure something factor. Out there.
Yeah.
Dodgers.
Well, I mean, obviously you need to get like an Andrew Miller type. The bullpen, it just needs to be better. And then, you know, I think they need to get away a little bit from like the Kike Hernandez's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get Corey Seager back. So you have Turner, Seager, Bellinger at first. Who's at second? Is it going to be Muncy? Is it going to be, you know, some other utility guy? You got Puig. And then Peterson, you know what? Go get Harper.
Wow, that would be bold.
Just go get him. Just pay him the $30 million. I know it feels like they need to get something. Like, their outfield feels weak to me. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like to me. It feels like their outfield is weak. And you can do something with like Jock Peterson and David Freese and Bellinger and sort of bounce them all around depending on who's starting. But then Puig in right, and then who's in left? That's the question. And it shouldn't be Kike Hernandez or Chris Taylor. Move Chris Taylor to second, maybe, mm-hmm. and then put a name out there. That's what I say. But I think they're good on starting pitching and probably need a reliever as well. But remember, they can spend now, right? They got under the cap.
Right.
So they went from spending, whatever, almost $300 million a year, which is crazy, down to 184, whatever the cap number was, and now they can spend over the cap and not be fined. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or not as much, anyway.
We'll see. Indians, last but not least.
Indians, I would say the Indians need an outfielder. Not necessarily, you know, maybe like an A.J. Pollock type, but they're mm-hmm. not usually ones to devote that much.
Healthy starting pitching would be a big... Big boom.
But that's, you know, hope in one hand, shit in the other. You know, see which one fills up faster.
They still have their competition in their division is not going to be good. That's one of the most surprising stories in the league this year is that the Indians didn't, well, I think they won 90 games. That's it.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
In that
division.
Remember
last year, they actually weren't that great except for that 20-game winning streak.
Right.
And I know it's a big except, but like outside of that 20-game winning streak, they were barely .500.
That's true.
Something to think about.
Yeah. That wraps up Around the Horn.
That's the baseball.
That's our baseball for this week. And that takes us into extra innings. We'll take a look outside of the world of baseball. Let's start off with a little NFL drama. Hugh Jackson out, offensive coordinator, and I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Gurley?
Yeah, Haley. Todd Haley, I think.
Todd. It's definitely Todd.
Haley. Todd Haley.
Well, I'm thinking of the running back, Todd Gurley. Right. Okay.
So they're clashing over how to use Mayfield as a quarterback. And it looked like Hugh Jackson was kind of throwing Haley under the bus. So management decided, well, you know what? Let's get rid of both of them. Gonzo.
So that's right. That's funny thing is it's his Hugh Jackson's best start as a head coach. He had 2 wins in the first 5 games, six games.
Yeah, so they put a lot of faith in him when he was 1-31
right.
in the 2 seasons prior. And then they get rid of him when he doubles his win total for 3 seasons in 1 season.
But apparently this is more about behind the scenes than on the field.
It's a culture. They want to cultivate a culture. But that also says a lot about what they think of Mayfield. That they're willing to, you know, get rid of two coaches because they don't want to create confusion or, you know, discord around the quarterback. Well, I think it's pretty smart. It's not like they were going to win the Super Bowl this year. So let's see what happens.
That's probably true, John. But you never know, man. Okay, that's something that you could know.
Megyn Kelly, is she out or she's, I mean, that she nail in the coffin, but has that finally been done?
They're apparently negotiating her
exit.
Her exit. Yeah. So... she's, you know, this, she was with Fox News, right? Mm-hmm. And then didn't sit well with the Trump stuff, right?
Right.
And so then left Fox, and NBC thought, oh, look at this great get. We'll get Megyn Kelly and give her her own show. But like, Megyn Kelly's appeal was more to conservatives. Like, mm-hmm. she has that more traditional look.
Right.
I hate to say that, but that conservatives like, the blonde and the, you know, whatever. And is a terrible signing by NBC, which is much more liberal than Megyn Kelly is.
Right.
And so then she sort of had like this sort of, I don't want to say variety show, but just kind of a talk show. And it was kind of unserious. It was just a weird sign. Yeah, like, was... and like paid her so much money, which is, as soon as it happened, I thought, oh, this is just terrible. She will not fit in here because she's not going to bring her fans. It's not like a football player or who's going to bring their particular skills to a team or like a musician who or a television show where it's like, oh, well, NBC doesn't want to produce our show anymore, so we go to Netflix and the fans will come. Like, no, if she goes over to NBC, the conservatives are going to be like, bye.
Right. Right. So now it's going to be interesting to see if she comes back to Fox with Ayers gone.
Right.
Because she had issues, obviously, with him and
right.
the culture there, and they're supposedly cleaning that up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, where does she go next? That will be interesting to follow.
Yeah, I don't know. InfoWars?
Take it over. Clean it up.
Talk about chemtrails on InfoWars.
Yeah. All the conspiracy theories that live under a rock. So this J-Lo news, tell me about it.
Okay, so J-Lo came out. She's got a movie coming out, so you're going to hear a lot of sound bites trying to catch interest and get publicity. And she says that it's easier to date Alex Rodriguez than Ben Affleck.
Because Alex Rodriguez doesn't drink and...
It doesn't go to strip clubs and bang strippers? Like, maybe that's why? Maybe that makes him easier to date? Or maybe she's just older and more mature now, you know? And
so,
like,
is that baseball news or entertainment news?
This is Extra Innings. I consider this, first of all, I think Alex Rodriguez has become quite the blowhard. His first year in the booth in limited doses, I actually quite enjoyed for ESPN or whoever he was doing it for. And then when he became like a regular fixture and felt he needed to keep talking, it just, oh.
He's got some baseball knowledge, but he doesn't need to. Yeah. To walk around like an encyclopedia.
And also, he's one of these guys like Smoltz, where it's like they won't shut up about like how the game used to be played mm-hmm. and how this, like, okay. Remember how likable Smoltz was at one point? And now he's just
like
a jerk. I think the thing is, if you hang out with Joe Buck, you're going to stop liking baseball. Because Joe Buck clearly hates baseball. Like, I was talking to a friend in LA, and he was like, why do you hate Joe Buck so much? And I was like, listen to him talk about the game.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care about the game.
He has no history of the game either.
He's not invested in the game. I'm not talking about between one team or another. I'm talking about like being invested in the majesty of the sport
right.
and the thrill of even nothing happening right. in baseball.
Yeah, he was interviewed years ago where he's like, I really am not a fan of sports.
Yeah.
You know, he's like,
and it comes across.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like any sports fan friend I have where they
no.
there's just something about the sport, just the very nature of sport that just compels the person. He just sounds like he's like, okay, I've got this line teed up for when this thing happens.
Right.
And
right.
you know, oh, I've got this is something else we're gonna talk about. It's all very matter of fact, and how he's had the job for 20 years, I mean, it's just crazy or whatever it is.
Thanks, Dad.
I just think he's the worst. And I think he's the worst not because he is unable to speak, but because he doesn't speak like he cares about the game.
Right. No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Last but not least, the Biebster.
Yes.
So is there a reason that he shaved off all his hair?
Look, the guy's got issues right now, right? Did you see this picture of him eating a burrito from the middle, John?
No. Who does that?
This is like... People are like, this is his Britney Spears moment. You know, like, people shouldn't be worried about the hair. They should be worried about the burrito. He's from Canada, so maybe it's different there. And maybe he just didn't know what it was. He was like, what is this thing? And
he's
the soft part.
He's like holding the ends and eating it from the middle.
He's holding the ends of the burrito and eating the middle, John.
So something seriously wrong with that man.
I'm just saying, check that dude for drugs.
What's coming up next?
Find out if the Los Angeles Dodgers have what it takes to make it back to the World Series on the next episode of Try, Try Again.